start the show. That is, that was supposed to be an inside joke there that somehow or another leaked out. But all right, then. I can't start the show like that. Of course, I got to hit my intro.
Give me the flats of dawn with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah.
And get ready for some magic.
Oh, that's awesome eat, man.
I got one.
Oh, damn, I got him. I got him.
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Yeah. That's how you start right there. Welcome to the Monday Night Kickoff Show, or as I have dubbed it now, the Redfish Chuck Show. I am, of course, your host, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. A couple things I want to get to real quick. Folks there in the chat room, if you're signed in as a guest, or if you're listening in as a guest and you want to listen or get involved in the chat room, feel free to log in using either your Facebook account or your Twitter account. Then you get involved in all the craziness that's going on there in the chat room. Of course, we've already got a pretty decent little list of people. Hopefully, we'll grow here shortly. We're going to have Mr. Tom Altiff of Kayaks by Bow on tonight as a special guest to help answer and put to rest some of the unknown questions or some of the odd things that we don't know about this SpaceX or Florida space program deal. Land grab situation going on out there in the Mariana Wildlife Refuge. But we'll get to that in just a minute. Of course, as always, the show is kind of in part brought to you by Hobie Kayaks, Tackle Webs, Orca Coolers, Ego Nets, Bending Branches Paddles, YakAngler.com, Kayaks by Bow, and Black Dog Custom Rods. Of course, our boy Lenny's already in the chat room there. If you guys are in the market for a custom rod, check out Lenny. Give him a shout. Black Dog Rods, as he's known there in the chat room. Guy does great work, man. He'll do a good job for you. But hopefully, after talking with Mr. Tom tonight, we're looking at maybe a date at the end of May, beginning of June open up start the process, I guess I should say, of Kayaks by Bow Outfitters, or KBB Outfitters, as we're going to call it. That will be a good thing. So hopefully we'll get Lenny's rods in there for that. Definitely looking forward to doing some of that kind of stuff, but let's see, a couple other things to get to real quick. Of course, we've got a busy schedule on our plate for the next couple of weekends. This upcoming weekend, we have the Fish Like a Girl seminar being put on at Kayaks by Bow. So if any of the listeners listening in tonight, whether it be here on Blog Talk Radio via the Kayak Fishing Radio website or our apps also available for iTunes and Google products, they are free. Kayak Fishing Radio is the app name. Then you can come on out and take part in Miss Vicky Saley's seminar, Fish Like a Girl. And there's nothing wrong with fishing like a girl if you fish like she does. So, it should be good stuff. And then after that, or before that, we're going to do a little cleanup out there at West Gator Creek. We're going to start that probably around 9 o'clock. Let's see, 9, 10, 9. Yeah, we'll start that around 10 o'clock. And then we'll do the cleanup from, let's say, 10 to 11:30, so about an hour and a half long cleanup. And then we'll move on over to Kayaks by Bow for the noon fishing seminar. after the seminar to follow it, we'll have some hot dogs or hamburgers, one or the other. And then we're also going to do a little group meeting for Space Coast Kayak Anglers. And for those of you that are listening to the show that are not a member of Space Coast Kayak Anglers, feel free to join us on Facebook. It's pretty easy. Just find us there on Facebook, Space Coast Kayak Anglers, and ask to join. It's a private group, which is kind of nice. It keeps a lot of riffraff out. And you know, we'll accept you into our group and make you part of the family. And speaking of Space Coast Kayak Anglers, I have my unofficial official co-host, as always, now joining me, Mr. Alan Ryland.
What's up, man?
What's going on, buddy?
Not much. Just hanging.
Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, we don't really have a whole lot to report on as far as fishing is concerned, do we, from last week?
No, not really. But I do have, I forgot to tell you, my wife got in the car this morning to go to work. And I got a text from her a little bit later this morning wanting to know what the horrible smell in her car was. And that we took it on our little fishing adventure. Yeah. So anyway, she got home and I took a little peek back there. And lo and behold, in a little plastic bag in the floorboard behind the front seat was the rotting, stinking decoy that was your trophy from the fishing trip on Sunday. It was quite ripe in the car. So anyway, but I still got it in the doorway.
Cool.
Well,
go ahead and clean that thing up
yeah,
for me, man.
I'll wax it up for you. I'll be ready to go.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to do any real kayaking this past week. On Wednesday, I got to jump offshore with a good friend of mine, Dusty Jim, aboard the Linda Lee, and which is a 27-foot world cat. We went out looking for dolphin / whatever else wanted to eat a drowning ballyhoo. And it turned out to be a decent day on the water with a good friend of mine. So caught my personal best blackfin tuna, about 25 pounds. And then dolphin, we got in some amberjacks, bonitas, barracudas, typical game. Had a couple swats at a bait from a sailfish, couldn't get them hooked up. So it was a good time out there in the deep water. Ran in on the beach looking for triple tails and cobes and saw plenty of weeds, plenty of grass, plenty of, green water going into blue water. So I figured we were in the right spot and they did not want to play. They were not home. So with that being said, it was still a great time out there. Got to bring home some sweet, sweet fish fillets for dinner. And that was all good. Everything was cool with that. So let's see. I just saw today up in the panhandle, somebody reported on Facebook that the blackfin tunas and dolphin have showed up. So I don't know, man. We may have to do like a pre-boondoggle to run up there and see what that place is all about and do a little scouting, if you will. Definitely into that. Let's see. Yeah, look at, there's Production Chris in the chat room there. Hey, good to see that you're back, bud. And, holler at your boy. But anyway, so let's see. Alex saw a bunch of blackfins today in Fort Lauderdale. Yeah, I'm telling you, they're moving in. They're getting close. So, what's that?
I said I saw that. He posted a little video of a, I guess, a little school moving right offshore, just beating on through.
Nice.
Looked pretty cool.
Yeah. No, don't talk about Jameson. We're not going to get into that conversation on the show. It's a family show. So without further ado, I'd like to bring on Mr. Tom Altus. And, for those of you that aren't really aware, and hopefully some of you that are listening tuned into the show tonight to listen to this and kind of get firsthand knowledge of what's really going on out there as opposed to what you might read in the newspapers and everything else. Basically, what's going on is Space Florida is trying to do a land grab out of the wildlife refuge and take hold of 150 acres up in the Shiloh area. For those of you that don't know where Shiloh is, it's right off of State Road 3, just past Beacon 42. There's a sign that says Shiloh, and that's where it's at. So It's on the Indian River side of State Road 3, meaning that if everything goes as planned, that they will be able to launch rockets off of that Shiloh area, which would then carry over State Road 3, which would then carry over the Mosquito Lagoon, which would then carry over the dunes and the beach before ever hitting the ocean. So obviously, for a number of reasons, this doesn't make any sense. Tom has been the fighter of the good fight, as I like to say, for some time now. And, you know, we all owe him a great deal of thanks for everything he's done. If you only saw the man hours that he's doing what he's doing, it's absolutely ridiculous. But so without further ado, Mr. Tom.
Hi, guys. Chuck, I just want to say that tuna, dolphin, and the amberjack was really good, and I appreciate you sharing some fillets with us. Good stuff.
No worries.
And I don't know if I can live up to that introduction either, but we'll do our best.
Very cool. Well, let's see. Basically, let's just try and start from the beginning here. What exactly, in your words, what exactly is going on? Did I kind of mention it right, or what do you think?
I think that was an excellent summary of what's happening. I think all of us can agree that we support the space program. I support the space program. We believe in what NASA is doing. And also, obviously, we support our defense with the Air Force Eastern Test Range and the great job they're doing out there. Along with that, we have accidents that occur, and we have contamination. And where NASA is located in the Eastern Test Range, it's very contaminated. But it's something that is somewhat necessary just because of the fact that we need that for our national defense. However, the Shiloh area is not needed in that regard, and it's just at least in my opinion, a way for an encroachment on what we have out there by Space Florida and some of the commercial companies. When we look at what we have out on out of NASA right now, we have a large number of launch pads that are not being used. We have buildings that are empty, and NASA is finding it very difficult to maintain them. So all of this is available for the commercial launchers, and we support the space program as long as it's in its own place. So where do we want to go from here?
Okay. Well, I would say, I got a couple questions for you. What's the contamination threat? What has NASA done, if anything, to try and prevent the situation from happening? Do they seem like they have any interest in just allowing this to happen, or do they have any interest in allowing them to use current installments that are out there?
Yes, they have all of they have the buildings available for commercial use. They in fact have at one point they moved the south fence line in so as to allow Space Florida to acquire a building. In addition to that, they provided additional acreage for Space Florida to have what's known as Exploration Park. I don't believe NASA is interested in turning over the Shiloh property to commercial space interest. I think NASA would probably rather have them out there on the Space Center behind the restricted fence.
So NASA's given them all this property, or has already allowed them to use property, to use launch facilities and such. And Space Florida just refuses to use it? Or, I mean, if it's already there, they should be using it, right?
Yes, but Space Florida's argument is that the commercial space companies such as SpaceX don't want to be under NASA and the Air Force's guidelines. They want to be out from under NASA. They want to have their own launch facilities under the Federal Aeronautics Administration, under FAA. They have expressed concerns that whenever they want to bring people on property that have an interest in doing business with them as far as launching commercial satellites for other countries, that NASA is reluctant to give security clearances. Therefore, they want their own operation with their own security.
Huh. Well, so basically what they're going to do, if this happens, which we're all hoping that it doesn't happen, if this happens, which, by the way, forget about the closures for the day or for the week leading up into a rocket launch, okay? Forget about that. Nobody cares about how you're going to be inconvenienced for a day or for a week of a rocket going up in the grand scheme of things. Am I correct, Tom?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I think our main concern has to be what's going to happen to the environment out there. And anytime you're fueling rockets or you're defueling rockets because you're unable to successfully launch the rocket and you can't leave it sitting on the pad fueled, you're going to have accidents. Anytime you have fuel storage, there's a potential for accidents and fuel spillage. In addition, you're going to be working out there with chemicals that are very toxic, and chemicals which have already contaminated the NASA restricted area. All of these are factors, not even considering the fact that if we have a catastrophic rocket failure, the contamination that would result from that. So there's so many reasons why it shouldn't be there. And really, I haven't heard a good explanation as to why it should be there.
Yeah. The contamination was going to be my next question to you. Obviously, the contamination threat is large because of the things that you just said. Do we have any idea how contaminated the Space Center is right now? I mean, I kind of have probably a good guess that there's three-headed redfish swimming around, and there's, deer out there with antlers coming out of their backsides or whatever. But does anybody know just how contaminated it is or what it would cost to clean up what's out there?
Yes, from NASA's own estimates, and this is based on publications where NASA has stated that it would cost between $1 and $2 billion to clean up the current contamination.
Billion.
Billion.
Yeah.
And I have to say that they've implemented some good programs to clean up the property and also to prevent the types of accidents and spills that they've had out there before. And they're doing a great job on that, which means they're going to have very stringent regulations and very strict regulations as to what people can do on the property and what they can't do.
Well, it's unfortunate that we have to fight to protect not our rights really as fishermen, but fight to protect what is now considered a national wildlife refuge from having the possibility of a contaminated mess be built right there within the boundaries of a current wildlife refuge. It's ridiculous.
Hey, Chuck.
That was.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but while you're on the subject, that was the one because I admit I've followed it a little bit, and it's I mean, it's scary to think that they might do this, but how can they, and I've had a couple people ask me this because I've been sharing some of the posts and some of the links and stuff like that. How can they actually take land that is a federal wildlife sanctuary for commercial use? What guys do they go behind to be able to do something like that when it's far as I've heard, the federal or national wildlife refuges are protected indefinitely. How can they just do something like that when it's protected property?
You know, I know the answer to that question because I've been told it a million times by Tom, but Tom makes it a lot better. He says it a lot better than I do. So, Tom, tell us.
Well, NASA owns the property, and even though we have a National Seashore Park and a National Wildlife Refuge, that property has never been deeded to the Department of Interior. NASA holds the deed to the property, and, of course, NASA, and like every other federal agency, has a budget. And within that budget is where they can actually be forced to accommodate Congress, if Congress decides that they want some of those lands to be turned over to commercial interests. The thing that can be held over NASA is their budget. And so either you comply with what we want or you're not going to have a budget this year.
Yeah, which the way they are now is not, probably wouldn't take much swaying with the budget they've been left to work with. So I can see where that would be a problem.
And that's where the real push is coming from now, where they're trying to get everybody on board to support this by speaking about one thing and one thing only, and that's jobs. And we've been through a rough time here, and we do have a high unemployment rate. There have been a lot of space center workers that have been laid off, and of course, when you mention jobs and mention the fact that a company like SpaceX has threatened to move their operations to Texas, that gets everybody concerned. And so that's really the leverage they're using to try to make this land grab out there in the Shiloh area.
But what's funny about that is, if I'm not mistaken, the last council meeting that I sat in on with you, the guy from SpaceX straight up said it would bring around 80 jobs to the area.
That's correct. That was Mr. Ketchum with Space Florida. And just to let you know, Space Florida is a state agency funded by the Florida state government. And it's the one who is really leading the fight here and to obtain the Shiloh land. They, in turn, always use the fact that we're going to lose jobs or we're not going to gain any jobs. And initially it was supposed to be 80 jobs. When I went to the Volusia County Council meeting where they were trying to convince the Volusia County Council to support the Shiloh enterprise, and during that meeting they promised 600 jobs. But those jobs weren't promised to Brevard County in Titusville. They were promised to Volusia County. And then when they spoke before the Greater Titusville Chamber of Commerce, and I received a letter that someone was kind enough to share with me. I am a Chamber of Commerce member, but they chose not to share the letter with their membership, only to send it to certain people. All of a sudden, they were talking about 1,500 jobs, and they use jobs to gain the support of the various government agencies.
Well, hang on one sec. Save that thought. I'm going to hit a 8,000 jobs, right? Yeah, that's what we lost. Yeah, good luck in trying to replace that. I'm going to hit a little commercial spot real quick, and we'll be right back.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
folks who's there in the chat room, Captain Mike Ortego, is the owner-proprietor of Tackle Webs. If you're not sure what a Tackle Webs is, then you must live underneath a rock. If you own a kayak and you have a seat in that kayak, you can attach a Tackle Webs bag to said seat. If you have bungees sitting behind you in your tank well area, you can attach a Tackle Webs to that. If you don't have those two things, you're probably not a kayaker. If you're not a kayaker, Tackle Webs make a perfect product for any boat, large, small, flats boats, all the way up to the big offshore trolling boats. So check them out, tacklewebs.com. I just got a sweet set of new Tackle Webs bags from my brand new Hobie Pro Angler 14. Man, I'm more excited about fishing with these having these bags on board my kayak now than I ever have. They've made everything much easier. I can store everything I need right around my seat. So check them out. TackleWebs.com, Captain Mike Ortego, can't go wrong.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out YachtAngler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
All right. Got to do those every now and again now. So let's see. NASA. We know they have a room behind the restricted area. Has anybody contacted Space Florida or SpaceX or any of those guys and seen if they'd be willing to utilize a land grab behind the fence, say if NASA were to deed property over to Space Florida?
A Space Florida representative came by the store, and we sat, had a very nice conversation over about a little over an hour, and one of the things that we suggested was that if we could convince NASA to turn over 150 acres behind the restricted fence, just move the fence on the north side, move it over, give them 150 acres to have their own launch sites, and if they would be agreeable to accepting that instead of the Shiloh launch area. And I received an emphatic no. That would not be acceptable.
Okay.
So I suspect that this is just the beginning of the land of the lands that they want to acquire. Otherwise, why not accept 150 acres behind the restricted fence that they would have total control over? And that's the real question.
Yeah. What is your motives truly for this? It's not just for 150 acres, apparently. Well, you know, I'm going to go back to the topic of, you know, people being bent out of shape about them not going to be able to fish on a particular weekend or what have you, because that seems to keep coming up in some of the forum topics and forum conversations, Facebook posts and everything else. I think the biggest issue is what exactly do you think the catastrophic failure threat could be? I mean, I have a pretty good idea that if a rocket were to be shot off of one of those launch pads and takes a turn in the wrong direction and they have to detonate said rocket, unfortunately for us, it may happen right over the top of Mosquito Lagoon. So,
absolutely.
I mean, that's the biggest concern, because your inability, or the concern you may have of not being able to fish on a particular weekend at that point will now be null and void, because life in the lagoon as you know it will end. And unfortunately for us, since there's no tidal movement really to speak of, and I believe you told me that you spoke with a biologist, or somebody did, that the water in the Mosquito Lagoon and the Indian River only turns over once every 100 years.
That is correct. It's depending on the payload that the rock is carrying as well, and what's in that satellite. Is it going to be powered by nuclear energy? In addition to that, you're going to have explosives on site, because Anytime you fire a rocket, you have to have explosives to shear those bolts that hold the rocket on the pad and release it for flight. Or what happens if the rocket just explodes on the pad, and you have fuel tanks there? It would just be an ecological disaster.
Which is probably the reason why back in the day NASA, when they decided to take this property over here in Kennedy Space Center and build all of the rocket launch and the shuttle launch facilities that they did, they put it all so close to the ocean.
Absolutely, because if there is a need to destroy a rocket, they're going to destroy that rocket over the ocean, and all the contaminants will fall in the ocean, which is much better prepared to clean itself than the lagoon would be in the refuge.
So, I mean,
I was just going to say, if you look at an aerial of the Space Center, you'll see that all the launch pads are along the ocean, and that's the reason for it.
So we know that we have the city council meeting coming up tomorrow night in Titusville. So for those of you that are listening,
yeah,
that are in the listening area, if you'd like to come out and show your support of what Tom's been doing for the last 2 years, which is fighting this thing, and what the rest of us need to be doing, come on out, 6 o'clock. I think the meeting starts at 6. And it's at the city council chambers, located on US 1. Big building. It's got a little fountain out front. You know, if you're listening to the show and you live in Brevard County and you give a toot about what's going on out there, you better make sure that if you're not at this one, that you're at any of the other ones you can make it to. And these, now you got to understand, this city council meeting tomorrow night has nothing to do with this issue. So when the time is appropriate for people to be able to get up and speak, you can do so to speak on behalf of this issue. You're given a 5-minute allotted time to be able to pretty much say your piece. And I think that we kind of request that everybody who thinks that they want to come out and speak on behalf of the anglers and the folks, the birders, and you know, everyone who likes to use the wildlife refuge, if you would contact Tom over the next, you know, tonight, tomorrow, whatever, before the meeting, and kind of go over what you're going to talk about so it's not redundant, it's not the same thing being spoken about over and over and over again, then that would probably be a good idea. Correct, Tom?
Absolutely. I think it's so important for anglers, birders, duck hunters, or people who just enjoy recreational boating or just enjoy driving out on the refuge just for a peaceful drive, to just come out and you're allotted 5 minutes under the section of the meeting that deals with requests and petitions, and just let city council know how you feel about the refuge. In addition, the many people who earn a living from the refuge, the number of captains, guides, and actually people who harvest products from the lagoon, it would be important that they would come out and also state their position, and the fact that they bring people to Titusville to fish in the wonderful refuge in National Seashore Park that we have. All of that would be helpful. And just showing up for the meeting is helpful because city council recognizes the fact when there's a lot of people sitting out there in the audience, because usually at a council meeting, you have a very, very low turnout. As it stands now, the resolution that we have proposed to Titusville City Council is that they oppose the Shiloh launch site and also, as part of their resolution, which they would forward to our congressional delegation, request that Congress consider a bill to have NASA turn over all land outside of the current restricted area. And the current restricted area is about 58,000 acres. The land they would be turning over outside the restricted area would be approximately another 60,000 acres. So that this question would never come up again. And we'd have a beautiful refuge in National Seashore Park for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren to enjoy.
Well, I'm pretty proud of the fact that that Orlando Kayak Fishing Club, Space Coast Kayak Anglers, United Waterfowlers Association, and a number of other groups have gotten on board with this and posting about it on their various forums and chat rooms and whatnot, trying to raise awareness for it as well. You know, it's, I don't know, man, scary stuff. CCA is on board, I guess, too. I'm reading there in the chat room, Pepe just said. So, you know, the important thing is that we get, as you said, as many people together as we can in one place to kind of to show our support for our area. The problem that I've noticed on other issues that have to do with the government is people like to sit behind a computer and talk about how this needs to be stopped, or they'll tell their buddy on the phone, oh, man, we got to stop this. Saying it and showing up and trying to help to stop it is, you know, is two different things. If you're not aware, we just fought the government on the bottom fishing ban about a year and a half.
You know, we can all make a difference, and believe me, the politicians recognize it when people show up and take a position.
Yeah, well, and that's just the thing is what we noticed trying to fight the bottom fishing ban was the only people that were showing up were the commercial fishermen. The only people that showed up, commercial fishermen, and that's a problem when you have maybe 40 commercial fishing boats in Port Canaveral versus how many, you know, thousands of boats that use the ocean recreationally every year in the same area. This is the same thing. This all kind of ties in the what I'm getting through here. We had three boat captains at the last city council meeting that I went to, three of them, as opposed to 20-something kayak anglers that were there. Just kayak fishermen, random dudes and ladies who like to kayak fish in Mosquito Lagoon. They don't get paid by working out in that area, but about 20 of them showed up. Did they not, Tom?
That's right, and that's really what is so important. If we don't show that we have an interest in protecting our refuge and National Seashore Park, politicians they look at it and they don't see a public interest and they feel that no one's concerned so we can go ahead and pass a resolution requesting that NASA turn this property over. This is so incredibly important to all of us. And if we look at the numbers alone, last year 1,100,000 visitors visited the National Seashore Park, Canaveral National Seashore Park, and the Merritt Island National Wildlife Refuge. I mean, that statistic is incredible in itself.
Yeah, well, and it is, and that's all important numbers and documentation that we have to show the city council that, you know, you got to come out of the old ages. You got to get out of the stone ages where you think that we're going to be able to still survive on the space program. And I'm with you. I'm with you on this because, you know what, I too love the space industry. I love the space program. I used to stop in traffic and watch rockets go up and shuttles go up and the whole thing, whatever. I grew up here in Brevard County. It's a piece of who we are. But at the same time, we have to protect the natural resources that we have that aren't as dead as other parts of our lagoon system, unfortunately or fortunately, whichever way you look at it, from just the misuse of the land that's out there. You know, and I think that's one of the things that people don't grasp is that from an economic standpoint, that refuge brings in more money to the city of Titusville and Brevard County than any shuttle program or any rocket launch will do as far as visitors. So, you know, I don't know, man. It's crazy. It's going to be a bumpy road ahead. I know that. But, you know, I'm hoping that most of you guys that are listening to the show, again, you guys here in the chat room, Lenny, I know it's a long drive for you and Peppy and you guys down south, but if any of you guys can make it up, man, we would love to have you there tomorrow night. And the meeting itself starts at 6 o'clock. It's a city council meeting, so you have to sit through all the mumbo jumbo, you know, jargon, whatever. But once the opportunity comes for you to be able to stand up and say your little speech, man, then it'd be great to have some folks who are passionate about wanting to save what we have out there, get up and talk. So, you know.
You know, I believe Titusville's future is actually tied to the refuge in the National Seashore Park. Because if we protect it, it'll be there forever. Space programs, as you said, space programs come and go. And that land can be there forever for everybody to enjoy. And for Titusville to prosper through being next to a wildlife refuge in a national seashore park. And to show you how important this is, as of now, there are 5 council members, including the mayor, and 2 council members support at least tacitly now. They support having the launch pad. The 2 launch pads at the Shiloh area. 2 council members are opposed to the launch pads in the Shiloh area, and the decision is going to come down to one person, and that's the mayor. Whichever way he decides to go will be which way Titusville determines their resolution is going to be, either for it or against it.
Yeah, and you know, I know there's some birding groups, bird watching groups and such, that are for it as well, which is kind of strange to me, that somebody who likes to watch birds out of the refuge would be for the launch sites. But, you know, what's that term you like to use that I think is like the best term ever? There's people that are really, really nice. They're super nice people, but they're a little misguided. Yeah.
Yes.
There's a lot of really nice people out there that mean well, but there's a lot of folks that are out there that are quite a bit misguided as to what's really important in the world. And, you know, like I say, I know that there's a few of you that are listening to the show that are planning on being at the city council meeting. It's awesome. Definitely appreciate it. You know, it's, I don't know, man. We can't do much about the situation in the Indian River and the Banana River at this point. I mean, we can fight that as much as we want to try and save the lagoon system as a whole. But if we allow this to happen and something does take place, a catastrophic event at the launch pad or right as it goes up, you might as well just kiss the entire lagoon system goodbye. So, you know, you think a couple of dead manatees and some porpoises and pelicans are bad. You let, you know, thousands of gallons of rocket fuel and radioactive material land in the lagoon and see how well that turns out. So, you know, it's unfortunate. It's part of life of what we have to deal with here on the Space Coast. But as you said, if we can get NASA to deed the property over to the Department of Interiors and we won't ever have to deal with this ever again. That would be
awesome.
And that should be our ultimate goal, really. once we put a stop to this is to have the property deeded to the Department of Interior so that it's ours forever. And you hear Marley in the background there. yeah, that's our puppy.
Hey, it's all right.
Yeah, and that's really the answer to this whole problem. Let's make it like every other national park and every other national wildlife refuge, and put it where it belongs in the Department of Interior so that we'll have it forever.
Cool. Well, so with that being said, going forward from here, the next meeting we know, like I say, is tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, City Council, Titusville. There's a meeting on Wednesday that you're going to, and I may still be joining you on that. Where is that, and what is it? And can you explain that real quick?
Yeah, that's in Vero Beach, and it's a program. It's many different agencies combined to set up a program to actually save the Indian River Lagoon. And I can't recall the exact name of the organization, but the participants are the University of Central Florida, the Florida Department of Environmental Protection, Fish and Wildlife, many organizations that come together. They determine what programs should be initiated, and then they attempt to get funding for it to help prevent runoff from going into the river, and to stop all methods of polluting the lagoon. They realize that the lagoon is declining. They realize that we've had fish kills in the past. We recently have had a large number of pelicans, dolphins, and manatees die. What they try to do is to come up with a plan and get the government and get the state funding to implement this plan to try to stop some of the chemical and fertilizer runoff from going into the river. Because that's what, in a large part, what is killing it.
Yeah, well, I know that the folks that live on Merritt Island, they were banding together to try and put an end to some of the uses of fertilizers on their lawns and whatnot, too. So, again, like we said before, and say it a million times, it's definitely going to be a tough challenge, man, and got our work cut out for us. But if we don't fight the good fight, then who will? Nobody's going to help us. We got to do it on our own.
We do. We have to continue the good fight.
That's it. That's all we can. That's all we can do. Well, cool. Listen, I appreciate you taking your evening out to get on board here and kind of educate us a little bit more about what's going on with the program out there, or at least the land grab that they're trying to do. And you can write your Congress people. You can. Write state legislators if you want to and try and help out that way. You can show up in force like we've been doing and try and make our point clear. But we can't just sit back idle and let this kind of work itself out, because if we do, it's not going to end in our favor, I assure you. So, Tom, you were the man, sir.
Well, I appreciate the time, Chuck, and anybody can call me at any time. I'll be glad to answer any questions. If anyone has any questions, my telephone number is 321-689-3404. That's my personal number, and I'm available all the time to answer questions.
Awesome.
I really appreciate the time on the show, Chuck.
No, absolutely. Alan, you got anything to finish with that?
No, not really. I mean, there's not much more to add other than Tom's efforts that he's put forth. And I just really, I mean, all I can say, Tom, is thank you. I mean, I appreciate it. I mean, I enjoy fishing, you know, driving out there, hanging out. I've lived here all my life, and, you know, we've always had that. And it's like Chuck said, it's scary. And I have not yet been to a meeting. I've got to go to Lakeland for some work-related stuff tomorrow. Probably won't get back in town until 8 or 9 o'clock at night, but I will definitely get with you, get with Chuck, whatever, and start stepping up and showing up to some of these meetings. You know, like Chuck said, I live kind of far down south. I might have to make arrangements at work, but you know, it's worth it. We can't lose that place. So, but I just wanted to say thank you. I appreciate all you're doing.
Right, well, thank you, Alan. And we have to save this for our children and grandchildren.
Yeah, exactly.
Amen to that. I got two little boys here in my house that need to be able to enjoy that area out there, just the same way I've been able to and you've been able to all those years, Tom. Thanks, man. Definitely appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, see ya. Night, Tom.
Oh,
dude, I can get so worked up over that whole situation. It's depressing.
I'm serious. Like, dude, it's depressing and it's aggravating all at the same time. It's frustrating because you have so many people that are coming out of the woodwork that want to help, and they all mean well. And you've got a lot of misguided information that's being spread around through various different outlets. And, you know, if folks took the time and put in the time, as what Tom has done over the last 2 years or so, to really get his ducks in a row to be able to present a legitimate argument, then you know, we would all be a lot better off. Wait.
Yeah.
For those of you there tomorrow night, wait till you hear the way that this guy talks to the city council. The city council has no answers for anything that Tom says. But there's no questions. There's no holes in the story. Even the guy from Space Florida or whatever, SpaceX, Space Florida, wherever the heck he was from, he was even just like, I got really nothing to add here. you know, we're bringing 80. Tom got in his head so bad he told us he's given us 80 jobs. 80 jobs? You can keep your space program for 80 jobs. You know,
yeah,
take it over
really.
To Texas and let them fight you, try and get rid of you. Oh, and by the way, in case you didn't know, the other piece of land that they're considering going to, yeah, that's also right next to a wildlife refuge. So apparently they've got some kind of they get some kind of joy out of knocking down or trying to hopefully, or maybe not hopefully, but trying to give themselves the opportunity of destroying wildlife refuges all around the country. Kudos to SpaceX and Space Florida for not thinking about the future of the area. Think about the now and how many millions of dollars we can make by sending a satellite up. Ugh. Yeah, Randy English said it best in the chat room there. Get your stomach in knots. It does. It's not good, man. It's not good. And you know, I see you guys, some of you guys are posting pictures of the river being barren of grass. And, you know, all of this stuff all kind of ties itself into each other. You know, not protecting our environment. Hey, we don't protect the river. You know, I haven't lived here as long as Tom's lived here. Tom showed me a picture of him when he was a little kid on a dock that was, at the time, I think, Cocoa Beach. And he showed me a picture of a spot where his dad used to take him to go fishing for trout in the river that at the time was a wooden pier. It used to be a commercial fishing fleet site. I mean, just he's been here longer than dirt. I love you, Tom. You're old. So,
yeah, you know,
and that's cool.
Not to give away my age either, but, you know, I grew up here, you know, grade school, high school, all that. And, I mean, I had some buddies lived in Melbourne Beach. I mean, you know, some of the dirtiest, deadest part of the river right now, Melbourne Beach along Riverside Drive. And we would snorkel off the docks. And, you know, the water was crystal clear. I mean, not always. I mean, it had its dirty times, too, when it would dirty up during the summer now and stuff. But it's just that's gone. It, that water never clears up anymore. I mean, very rarely.
Yeah. Yeah, we know a lot of it that we have is brown algae. Brown algae, as everybody knows, it comes from mainly the fertilizers and crap dumped in the river. Never mind the human waste that's been dumped in the river over the years by all these cities and all of the freshwater runoff that's made its way into the river after all of the development that's taken place since the 70s and the 80s. I mean, I here, here's a question for you. Find me a clam. Find a live clam that lived in the Indian River Lagoon, not the Mosquito Lagoon. Find me a live clam that lives in the Indian River Lagoon from Titusville to Sebastian.
Yep. My dad used to own a mobile home park in Palm Bay, right by the Shack restaurant, right next door to it. Of course, it's a condo now. But I'd work there over the summer for him, cutting grass, trimming trees, whatever. You could walk out off that dock any time of the year, barefoot, 5-gallon bucket, and within about 5 minutes, walking about 50 feet, you could fill up a 5-gallon bucket. This was cherry clams. That was hand-picking them, throwing away the big ones. I mean, they were everywhere, just tons of them. And they're, I can't think of the last time I've, because I weighed some when I'm fishing. I know you do too. And they're gone. They're nowhere. At least where I fish. And that's part of our filtration was the clams and the oyster beds, and we don't even have that anymore.
Yeah. Well, I just lost all concentration.
Sorry.
No, not you, brother. I promise you this. Not you. But anyhow, so Levi household's getting crazy. Let's see. Yeah, no, that's the case, man. When I was younger, I'm still young. Grandpa, are you? Yeah, you're a grandpa.
Yeah.
I remember, no problem. I'll throw you under the bus. I used to dig up clams at Pineta. I just dig clams up, just walking around Pineta Causeway. And, dude, I'm telling you, whoever, take a picture of you in the Indian River with a live clam you dug up. If you find one, send it to me, and I'll give you a prize pack. I'm pretty sure it's not going to happen. Look for oysters.
Yeah.
Find me some oysters. The river used to be covered in oysters. And it's got something to do with the runoff. But as far as the fertilizers and stuff, it has more to do with the fresh water that's being pumped into the river every day. You know, when you're out there and you're fishing on a flat and a long-nosed gar swims past you,
mm-hmm.
there's a problem.
Yeah. I mean, I see freshwater turtles out there, too, the painted turtles and soft shells, and I've seen them in the river, and they don't belong in there.
I saw a soft-shell turtle one time, no exaggeration, right by the 528 Causeway on the flat going to the north at the Barge Canal in the Indian River that was munching on a dead stingray. So, stuff's messed up.
Yeah.
But anyhow, on a lighter note, because can we change? Let's change the subject real quick. On the lighter note.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't know, the boondoggle. I love boondoggles. The boondoggle will be taking place up in Perdido Key, which is located up in the Panhandle, which is right near some of the best fishing that the state of Florida has to offer, because you have not just one fishery. You have two completely different styles of fishing that you can do while you're at the boondoggle. Now, as always, for those who like to get their feelings hurt about going to an event and not catching fish or whatever, as always, when you decide you're going to do a boondoggle like we have, okay, it's going to be in October, which is the same time we always do boondoggles, October and February, we have no control over the weather. I know it's hard to believe. I know some people, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But boondoggle where? Really, Chris? Fired.
He's been out of the country.
He's been here in Central Florida. He's got no excuse. Anyway, it's going to be a good time regardless. If you go to the boondoggle and you expect to go and just have a good time, you will not be disappointed. I think everybody has had everybody had a great time at the last one, and what we need to do. Here in the next couple of weeks, we need to get guys like Andrew Mixon back on the show, and Brandon and some of those guys that live up in the Panhandle area, and have them you know, kind of give us a little schooling on what we should be doing. We're definitely going to be caravanning, Randy English, from getting caravans like gypsies. But no, we'll get up there. You know, you have inshore fishing, offshore fishing opportunities. I've been told by several really good fishermen up that way. If the weather's right, you can sneak offshore, chase some dolphin, chase some blackfin tunas, try and get a sailfish, some groupers, some snappers, some trigger fish, that kind of thing. And then you can also stay inside, fish the flounder run, fish for redfish, trout, if that's what you feel like you want to do. My game plan pretty much is just to go out deep. I don't want to catch pelagics out of the kayak. I don't really care about catching a redfish. I could do that here. But regardless, it's going to be a lot of fun. It has not been open up for registration yet, as far as I know. They're still trying to work out the details with that. Maybe on tomorrow night's show or the Wednesday night show or the Thursday night show, maybe soon this week we'll be able to release that information. But as far as I know, it has not been done yet. Yeah, the caravan idea is a good idea because it's a long way from here. It's a, 8-hour drive, Alan?
Yeah, I think at least, up there. Probably.
So, 8 hours, a long time to be in a car, especially for those of us that will be pulling trailers and whatnot. Things can happen. We saw that with Bill.
Don't say trailer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, the trailer's good now. It's got good tires on it. But anyway, Oh, the other trailer.
trailers.
Trailers and Jameson don't make Alan very comfortable. What was I going to say? So, yeah, things can happen. Bill Haywood, unfortunately, I think blew a motor or transmission or something like that on his way down to Tokoloski. And, it's taxing on your vehicle. So, safe to ride in a pack. You could do it like a bunch of Alan and Jameson nicely. That guy's got serious issues. But anyway, that was horrible. I should have just read that one to myself. It's getting G-rated. We'll just ride out like a motorcycle gang or something. We will have an initiation where you beat each other in to the into the group before our little ride off. But I don't know, whatever. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a great time. If you can make it, make it. If not, it sucks to be you. Because it's going to be, like I say, another awesome event, just like it always is. And that, what is the dates for the Per Diem Key? It's Columbus Day, isn't
it? October 14th, 15th, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
Middle
Columbus
of October.
Columbus Day weekend. So it should be nice weather. We should, as far as temperatures are concerned. Should just be a good time. Yeah. It's American.
I think it's the 11th, 12th, and 13th, I believe it is.
Okay. There you go.
Through 13th.
Whatever. Regardless, it's Columbus Day weekend. So just look on your calendar. It says Columbus Day weekend on it. That's the weekend. Make your reservations as soon as you can. As Andrew Mixon mentioned, don't worry or don't concern yourself with trying to get waterfront spots. There's no such thing. So it's basically a big cul-de-sac that everyone will be camping on. And, be prepared to drive somewhere else to launch your kayak. What he says. And for those who want to go offshore, it is a little bit of a drive, not very far, but a little bit of a drive to go to the water. So, just pick a corner and have your little group, your little crew, whatever, get all on there. What? You serious, Alan?
No.
Oh,
no.
You son of a...
Just messing.
I was going to say, so much for that. I'm not going to the Boondock.
It's always next year.
Yeah, it's always next time. Cars park. Let's make it happen.
speaking of cars, I have some tournament announcements if you have time. If not, no
please
big.
Do so. Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay.
Real quick, receive the for everybody that does not know or is going. I'm myself. I know you, Pepe, is helping me. Lenny, my wife. I believe your wife. Anyway, the Hunt for Troutzilla tournament, May 18th, Cars Park. Captain's meeting on May 17th, 7 p.m. I am making an unofficial announcement that Cars Park may have in the works to have Sonny's Barbecue come out and serve the captain's meeting dinner for a fee. Still waiting on hearing from Christina back on that, so that may happen. They will have the kegs flowing Friday night, regardless of what the dinner plans are. But more than likely, it'll probably be Sonny's, just like the Boondoggle. They did a great job, so they may come back for this. I got the Mike Boehner Prowler print in the mail today, which is just unbelievable. A lot bigger than I thought. It's got to be at least like, 18 by 20, if not bigger, on canvas, signed, limited edition. Looks awesome. It's unframed, but it's a piece of work, piece of art. Of course, we've got the Black Dog Rod from Lenny. Slayer Inc. donating, I believe, Tommy Head Jigs, if I saw correctly, looks like he might put a surprise pack together as well. Bending Branches, we found out today, is more than likely going to donate a paddle and also some hats, T-shirts, some other swag to give out of the tournament. So it's coming together nice. I think we're up to almost 50 participants. Still growing. We've still got about a month. So weather permitting or not, should be good. That's it.
Cool. Cool. I'm excited, man. I can't wait for that event. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and the events to follow as well will be good. Because I know we plan on doing a bunch of other tournaments as well. Speaking of tournaments, there's a little boy who is a friend of a friend who just had some sort of a, I don't want to call it a seizure. Anyway, this child has had multiple medical issues along the way. I don't really know the full story of what's going on with him, but a buddy of mine reached out to me and asked me if there's anything we can do to maybe help out as far as the kayaking community is concerned. Absolutely was my answer. I don't know how or what, but we're going to figure something out. This little guy has, he had cancer. That's what it was. Okay. So I'm going to read you what my buddy posted on Facebook real quick. But I really don't know how to say this, but my little pirate friend is going through another round, round number two with cancer. He is the toughest kid I've ever seen. I'm straight up reaching out to people for some funds for his mother, who is a single mom with three boys, with this child being the youngest of the three. So at the end of the day, I think us as a community, there's enough of us that are local that fish these silly little tournaments and whatnot. I think we really need to put on a tournament for the kid.
Yeah. Do it.
I'm the father of a child who's got special needs. You know, our good friend Austin, you know, the Rouse family, they've got a little girl who also has special needs. We've all shown up in support of the Rouse family in a big way. In fact, I was able to help. We were able to raise at that tournament. Was able to help to keep her in her school for a whole other year. So, you know, if we can raise anything for this child and the family, it would definitely help. So let's try and plan something for that. How about that, Alan? I mean, we got
cool.
The Cars Park Kayak League or whatever we call it. Let's
Right.
May's really busy, I know, for everybody.
I was gonna say May's swamped, but pretty much after May, I mean, I know there's some other Tropic Bay stuff scattered through the rest of the year, but after May things open up pretty good. So
Why don't we push forward? Give us some time to really promote this thing. Mm-hmm. Why don't we push forward? And Tammy, by the way, I see you in the chat room. You need to come by. I still want to do what I told you I was going to do for your situation, but I'll be at the shop tomorrow if you're around. Anyhow, why don't we push forward? Give us some time to really promote this thing. Let's say like July, August. Let's say August. August mm-hmm. is a good month. Fishing's good in August.
Right.
Why don't we do something in August, and we'll just pick a weekend in August, and we'll put on a kayak tournament, and we'll try and get a bunch of good prizes together. I'm sure Tom and Lynn will be more than happy to step up in a big way for this. I know by then I'll have my shop open, so we'll be doing a whole bunch of things as well as far as, you know, helping out with different organizations and whatnot. But why don't we plan something for August and let's make this happen, all right?
Yeah, and cool.
We don't spend as much money on our silly little sport as most boaters do on their stuff. But if we all came together and pitched into like $25 for an entry fee and had raffles and just had, you know, silent auction type materials and whatnot, I don't see why we couldn't raise a couple thousand dollars for this family. I think it's good karma. It's good for the soul, you know. And after my experience down in South Florida at the event that my wife and I went to, I feel obligated to use my radio voice and the outreach that I have through all of you guys through Facebook and everything else to do good for people. So, you know, let's do that. All right, let's talk to Larry and talk to the folks out of Cars and whoever else we need to talk mm-hmm. to. But let's try to pick a weekend to make it happen.
Right. No, cool. And I know Cars, they're trying to really get, you know, they want to start leaning towards the tournament type thing because it's, you know, again, they're, you know, speaking of NASA like you were earlier, they're another NASA-funded establishment that's struggling due to the, you know, the NASA issues and stuff like that. And Cars is another. You know, you've been there. A lot of us have been there, and the people are great. The place is awesome. I mean, they take great care of us. So, you know, I think we probably should try to go that route and go through them because they're wanting to bring in stuff like that. So they'd probably have no problem with it.
Nice. Cool. Well, that's it. That's the plan. I'll reach out to my buddy Brad and let him know what we're gonna do, and you know, make sure. Get the okay from his family. I don't think we'd ever have any issue with that, but sometimes you never know. So we'll reach out, make a plan, make it happen. We'll figure out what the tournament will consist of. August. August can be anything. And pretty much everything's hanging around in August. You know, and we'll I got an idea. We'll shoot this on the show and see what people think. And then we're going to call this show a wrap. But we do a mini boondoggle in August.
There you go.
Mini boondoggle in August at Cars Park to coincide with the fishing tournament. All the money raised that we can raise on during this whole event, the entire weekend, will go to the family.
That works. I'm in.
Done so. Book it.
With my window with my window unit in my tent.
Hey, it might be hot. Maybe
August?
Hot. Yeah. You know, August, it'll be burning up. But I'm stay up. That'd be staying in your tent. Look at that. How quick you
No. Man. No. That's, no. Nope. That is a peppy free zone now in my tent. he knows I'm kidding.
And Jameson says, yeah. Oh my goodness. Anyway, cool. Listen, it's going to be a good event. Let's try and make it happen, seriously. And all kidding aside, let's see, what else we have? Okay, this weekend we have the Fish Like a Girl seminar. And the following weekend is the Jacksonville Classic.
Weekend too, right?
What's that?
I said there's an IFA tournament in Jacksonville this weekend, too, isn't there?
Yeah.
This coming up?
An IFA event in Jacksonville. There's an IFA event in Titusville coming up soon. There's the – oh, crap, I just had it on the tip of my tongue, too. The Flagler County Flagler County Sport Fishing Association is hosting their first ever kayak fishing tournament. Prizes aren't that big, but at the same time, you know what? Let's come on out and hang out and have a good time. It's a different area for us to fish. We've never fished there before, at least I haven't. We head up there to do that. I'm actually going to be doing a seminar for the Flagler County Sport Fishing Association, I think the week prior to their event. I'll post the dates of their event on my Facebook page. I had them here in front of me. I don't know what in the world to do with them. Put all my notes on. I misplaced them. But anyway, entry fee for that, I think, is like $25, and that includes a lunch. It should just be a good event, you know, get together, hang out with some people we're not used to seeing. Is that a CPR event? That is a good question. I sent an email to Bill May, who's one of the guys who's putting the thing on, and I asked him, is it a CPR event? And he goes, is it a what? And I go, uh-oh. It wasn't exactly how it went down, but it was pretty similar to that. And I told him catch, photo, release, and he goes, no. And I go, no. I said, well, you may want to consider making it a CPR event if you want a decent turnout from kayak fishermen, because that's pretty much all that we do at tournaments. We don't kill a bunch of fish just to bring them in and weigh them in. So he took my suggestion and forwarded along my email to the board members who are making those decisions, and I will have an answer for you shortly. But I believe it will indeed now be a CPR event, because prior to it wasn't going to be. But, you know, it should be a good time, you know. And truly, we all need to get outside our comfort zone and fish in different areas a little bit, you know. This is, this is the first kayak event.
Peppy, just let me know. Hook one is, I was going to say, Peppy just messaged me, said Hook one is in as a sponsor for the Trout Tournament 2, May 18th. So there's another.
Huh? Let me know if you need any more help with that. I know people. And speaking of KBV Outfitters, as I did earlier, folks, our storage building should be completed hopefully at the end of May. So beginning of June, we'll be getting ready to roll into the stocking process, which is always fun and exciting, of KBB Outfitters. If there's anything that you like to use on a regular basis that you'd like to see us carry, please let me know. I plan on being basically your one-stop outfitter shop. I'm not going to be messing with live bait, not messing with frozen bait, because I'm not a bait chucker. No, because I don't want to wake up at the butt crack of dawn and get out there and dip shrimp for people. I've done that. Sucks. So basically we're going to carry rods, reels, fly stuff, fly tying material. For those of you that have thought about getting into fly fishing, I will have fly rods and reel combos that are very affordable, that kind of thing. If you're a member of Space Coast Kayak Anglers, you still get a 10% discount inside of our shop. We'll be running monthly specials. We'll be running monthly events. The last Saturday of every month, for the most part, unless something should come up, we'll be having big, you know, to-dos out back. We'll have barbecue going and have a big event. It'll be a good time. So look for that, man. I'm really excited about it. Also, too, if any of you guys out there are graphic designers, I know that's what you do for a living, but I'm reaching out to my friends, my listeners, to see if anybody would like to shoot me a couple of images of what you think a cool logo would be for KBB Outfitters. I'm open to suggestions. I kind of have an idea of what I'd like to see, but if somebody comes up with something really awesome, I'd be more than happy to pay for your time and effort. And obviously, don't share that on Facebook as far as what it is you come up with. Just shoot me an email, redfishchuck@hotmail.com. Shoot me a message on Facebook. You can find me on Facebook, redfishchuck. Pretty easy to find me. Other than that, Chris Flores will be holding cooking seminars. That's what he says in the chat room. All right, Chris. Got to go with what you're good at, buddy. Wow. And then, great. So that's it. Pretty much all I got. Alan, you got anything else to add?
No, that was it.
Not a cool. Fly fishing film tour. Almost forgot about that. Folks, check out Orlando Outfitters. If you want to go to the fly fishing film tour, it's back in Orlando again at the Science Center. I plan on being there. I hope a small group of us will decide to make the journey over. Captain Mike Vortigo is still in the chat room there. I know that they usually give away some tickets or whatever with Fish and Florida Radio. Yeah, make it out to it, man. It's awesome. Chris, I think you would even enjoy that since you're, you know, whatever, TV dude. Yeah, Fly Fishing Film Tour was awesome last year. Some of the videos were absolutely incredible. So, Mike, you know the dates on that, by the way? I'm not real sure when it is. But anyway, you can find it on the Orlando Outfitters Facebook page. But with that, folks, I'm done. I've got something brewing. They're on the kitchen stove I need to get to, and I'm out. Not a videographer. Sorry, buddy. You're a TV producer extraordinaire. Check out the shows for the rest of the week. Tomorrow night, I got the Loggers, 8 o'clock. Mark and Chris do a great job. Wednesday night, one of my new favorite shows to listen to here on Blog Talk Radio, the Low Sodium Show. Great, May 16th. Awesome. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Low Sodium Show is on Wednesday night and Thursday night, of course, Chip Gibson. Hopefully he can get through a show without having technical difficulties as he did last time. So with that, I appreciate it. Thank you very much to all my sponsors, mainly Hobie Kayaks, Tackle Webs, Orca Coolers, Eager Nets, Bending Branches, YakAngler.com, Kayaks by Bo, Black Dog Custom Rods. Lenny, I bet you didn't know that I was on your pro staff. I made myself an official member, so there you go. Take a Kid Fishing, they're the future of our sport. By the way, thank you guys very much for all the likes that you gave to Orca Coolers. I was in the top 5 of people who got the most likes to their page or whatever. So. And yes, Tommy, I will be stocking Tommy Head jigs in my shop. But yeah, if you guys have any questions, comments, concerns about tonight's show, you want to hear it back, you can listen to it on iTunes. It's a free podcast. And if you have any questions or comments or concerns about anything that we spoke about tonight, or if you want to hear a special guest on the show and you have anybody else in mind that you'd like to hear from, shoot me an email. Feel free. And drop me a line on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter, Redfish Chuck. Instagram, Redfish Chuck. Redfish Chuck, Redfish Chuck. And smaller Orca coolers are going out this week. Yes, they are. In fact, one should be shipping to my house. 26-quart. Mike, are those going to have your Tackle Web bags on it? With Tackle Webs. He answered my question. Thank you, brother. Sweet. All right, guys. Take it easy. God bless. And be kind to one another. Life is short. And Alan, you rock, buddy. See ya.
All right. Later.